All right. Well, good morning. Welcome. It is the 21st of June, 2007. 21st of June, a day eagerly awaited and anticipated by many, be you either indigenous, neo-pagan, or child. The 21st signifies the solstice, the first day of summer, the beginning of the summer season. Summertime, summertime, good old summertime. And yet here I sit in a burly flannel shirt, which means what? That you'd have to be in Morro Bay, because it's the first day of summer, and we're wearing wool. But that's good news, because if you're looking to beat the heat, we say a trip to Morro Bay is no sweat, but bring a sweater. And when you get here, we'll be happy to throw out the welcome mat for you, and welcome indeed this morning to the meeting of the Community Promotions Committee. We see that all but member Stafford are present, who indicated he would be unavailable for today's meeting. So seeing everyone here, or at least a quorum, we will begin with the...
And I thought today we could take a moment of silence for her passing.
Thank you for that. Well, thank you for that bit of tribute, and we'll remember her and what it means to be a person who's made Morro Bay more than just a place to live, but to make it a place to live.
David, yeah. if I could for sure. A second, because today is the summer solstice, I would remind all the Salinan Indians that they're welcome to contact John Birch and climb the rock today during their ceremony. So,
and that occurs at sunset, if I'm not
mistaken? Something like that.
5 p.m. 5 p.m. Well, then if this does get out live in time to anyone there, the public's invited to observe that? All right. Oh, there we go. The public is invited to observe that ancient ritual today, 5 o'clock down at the Rock. The Salinans will observe their tribute to the Rock itself. So we'll let them know about that. All right. Then we move to approval of the minutes from last month's meeting. Anyone have notes, additions?
I'd like to make a motion to approve the minutes of the last meeting.
I'll second that.
Any discussion? All right, then we will take a vote. Approval of the minutes of the last meeting.
Aye.
Aye.
All right. Okay, monthly report we have from the Visitor Center today. Take it away.
Good morning, everyone. As you all have copies, you can see that the stats are for the most part, up from last year. I noticed down here that we don't have a comparison to last year's fulfillments and promotional material. I think I'll start adding that into the report, if that's okay, and kind of give us a comparison of what it is. I did look up what it was last year, and it seems that Travel 50 and beyond a year ago was about 1,000 fulfillments that had gone out. So you can see that, you know, it all correlates to how we publicize our ads and where they go and when they go, how it corresponds with us. I mean, obviously, when we have an ad, you know, we get busy, busier than normal. And the rest of the stats, you can see that we're up with the total visitors. At the website as a whole and see if we can enhance the back pages. I mean, if they're clicking onto the other pages, why are they taking so long? I mean, I hope it's just because they enjoy the material. Maybe it's just difficult to get to some of those places. We're kind of looking at that as a whole and see if we can enhance that and make it easier for them to go into plan a trip and things like that. And if it's a smoother process, maybe we can get more, because that's really, if you look at it, it's a very small percentage of the total hits that we get, and I'd like to be able to capture more of those people as they view our website. Just a suggestion, something that we're doing internally in the chamber. Today also I brought some information. I thought perhaps it would be a good idea to, and I'm just going to pass this along. I brought one packet. This is the packet that we send out for relocation. It's a relocation packet. You can see it's fairly thick. With the it's actually $1.65 to send it out, plus the envelope. But it has the tide book. It has the events calendar. Most of the pertinent things, lodging, what else we have, dining, of course, and camping. I mean, all of the flyers that we have. Yes. Whoa.
Excuse me, Peter. I was going to ask you, you had said that that's a relocation packet, or is that the people that are tourists requesting information about Morro Bay, not people looking to maybe move here?
This is a relocation packet.
So that's the actual relocation packet. Why would you send them dining and things like that when they're interested in real estate?
Well, if they're interested in real estate, real estate is in here.
I understand that.
Right. I mean, it's whatever they specifically request. If they request something special, obviously they get what they want. This is the packet that actually goes out when they say, hey, we're relocating to Morro Bay. What can you send me? We send them just about everything.
Okay.
And then if they want something more specific, then they do that. And they generally come into the chamber and have really particular questions issues. If they have issues, we take care of that. So I'm going to just pass this along so you can see exactly what it is. Also, we have fulfillments. In the fulfillment package, it's really the request from the advertising that we do, and they ask for information regarding Morro Bay. And we put this in here. This is good for a free visitor's guide. They come in and to pick that up, so we can really, when they bring this in, we know that they actually are interested in our visitor's con that they receive. And it's actually a breakdown of a lot of interesting information. It is something that we get a lot of requests for.
Why would you, if they want a guide, why wouldn't you give them the big guide with that coupon?
That's what they do get, Peter.
What's that?
That coupon gives them the big guide.
This coupon right here, right?
Yes, not the one you're showing them.
This one.
No, the big Morro Bay.
Right, color. But it's the coupon that...
That's what that coupon gives them, yes.
Right.
Not what they're seeing.
So what gets them that one?
This is the tourists when they call in about Morro Bay. We give them this one. When they come in, they pick up that one.
So
they could have both. And this is a summary, basically, of everything that's in this original package, this package right here.
So I don't understand if originally when we first started paying, which was one of the reasons why the cost of the big machine down there was to print those, which were supposed to go out in the fulfillment packets for the ad responses. That was. And then because of the cost of postage for the big...
Right.
And that was actually done
that's
prior
why the
coupon, to
right.
the big one.
Right.
That one was printed before the big one.
Right.
We actually finished the big one. But that used to go out in this fulfillment packet, and that was the reason why we were paying for the printing of it.
Yeah.
I don't know today.
We could still do that. That's not a problem. Either way, how you...
Does that packet keep this? Because this is well under an ounce, but I didn't know postage-wise.
Yeah, this jumps it up a little bit. It's not bad, though, but it does go up.
Well, maybe we can, because I know part of our agenda today is to put together the subcommittee for the next year's budget, and maybe we can sit down.
Oh, I think it's a great idea to reevaluate it. That's exactly why I brought this stuff. So,
cool.
You know, if there's something here that you want to add, take out, remove, increase, it doesn't matter.
The cost of that, of printing that, is quite expensive. It's
right.
More expensive than the smaller ones.
Right. That's right. And so
besides the postage.
So it's something that I think that the committee should look at and then make some suggestions to the chamber, and we'll fulfill whatever requirements are.
Cool.
Yep. And some of the things that are coming up, we had a – every quarter we do a small business networking breakfast. We had one yesterday, and very interesting. It really was informative. A lot of questions were generated. It was an interesting event. Looking forward to the next one, and we have different topics for the for each session. In advance, we have a full year, and we're going to change it each time. It turned out to be very, very good and well received. We have a mixer tonight, actually, at Fitness Works. That is, if you're wondering where that is, in the Vaughn Shopping Center here in Morro Bay on Quintana.
What time is that?
That's at 5:30. 5:30 to 7.
Are you taking over the whole place, or it's just a...
You know, it's really up to Ross how... Okay. how.
I was going to go for a workout later, so I was just asking.
No, you okay, can't use any machines. No, I'm sure that they have a section here that they're going to use.
Just have a much bigger audience.
Oh, yeah.
Or munch on the snacks. Okay.
Yeah, that's right. And then we have the Business Expo, which is August 31st. It's a chance to showcase your business. We'll be having packets put together next week, so we'll be pushing out a little advertising campaign on that. The China trip, we're doing a second China trip this year. The reason why we're doing two per year, particularly this year, is that we're really uncertain how the Chinese government's going to, if they're going to continue an aggressive program like this. I know that 2008, I think all of these packages that they've been putting out for the China trip, it's $1,399, by the way, if you don't know, and it's a 9-day trip to China, all expenses included, tremendous opportunity. I had the honor to be part of that group that went last time. I have to tell you, it is an event, an experience that you'll never, ever regret. You'll see things that that most people in the world never have an opportunity to see, and see it at $1,400 is truly amazing. But I think, and it's subsidized by the government. That's why it's so inexpensive. And I think it all is leading up to the Olympics that's happening in July in China. And I don't know, you know, at that time the world is going to be participating in China. They'll be recognized as a country that is embracing visitors. And I don't know if they're going to really continue this package. That's why we are doing it once again in November, to give people who hadn't had the opportunity to take advantage of it. Of course, we have the July 4th coming up. It's at Tidelands Park. It starts at noon. We have great music, absolutely great music. Five bands going to play all the way up until the fireworks will end. And then we have the Avocado Margarita Festival. That is coming up in September 22nd. I can't tell you, the response we're getting on this is truly incredible. It should be a big, big deal. We have, again, about four or five bands be playing all day long, dancing. You can listen. There'll be maybe 35 or 40 vendors. We have margaritas. We have avocado recipes.
Yeah, no, avocado. So with some, you say avocado, but you're implying guacamole is what I'm
Yeah,
getting
that's
at.
True. Okay. I mean, it's dishes, and I think who can be the most creative with a dish and, you know, that type of thing. I think we'll have some fun events with all that.
Where's that being held, Peter?
What's that? I'm sorry?
Where's the avocado and margarita festival?
Well, you know, we had the jazz festival. You remember that was in the parking lot across the street from Rose's, 714, I guess, is the address. And we transformed that into a concert and made it into a little city, if you will. I mean, fenced it off, and we had beer and wine sold there and vendors, and we had about 500, almost 600 spots there to sit. It will hold about 2,500 if we really wanted to get it into a concert position or a venue. But that's where it's going to be. And that was kind of a test to see if this was going to work, if we were able to transform this lot, this pavement, into something special. And it turned out to be well received, and I wouldn't say it was easy, but it turned out good enough for us to want to use it again and again.
Mm-hmm. So you're going to gate it all off and then charge
it? It will be gated. We're going to install, like we did before, fences. We have to do that. That's certainly the police mm-hmm. requirement, that and the firemen's. We have to keep everyone contained, and we have to have spotters, you know, for alcohol and, you know, that type of thing.
Being as margarita is part of the mix.
That's right.
So to speak.
That's exactly right. But it should be a good thing. It should be a fun thing. We're certainly looking forward to it. That's all I have.
All right. Thank you. Any questions from any of the other members for Peter? All right. Well, thank you, Peter. I like that idea that margaritas and avocado. You can't go wrong with anything like that. Let's see. We move on to budget report. This month. And I don't know if this is the... We'll take a look at where we are and where we've spent so far. And again, I think this is that lag that we're at 75%, but that must be we're approaching near the
our last meeting, which basically took us through the year. is accurate, because I did a recap, and I basically, the way I do that, the most scientific accurate way is to look at all of our past invoices, and I can do that. You know, that's what the city was charged, that's what they paid. And so with some of the coding, I think that we probably need to revamp that whole system and sit down with the finance director and figure out how we're going to do that better, because I think what happened is that some of these categories got mischarged, and just to try to simplify it, I think would be probably the key.
I don't know if that's the appropriate time to discuss simplification of the budget.
Yeah, that might be a really good segue. I would like to agendize for next month, if Andrea could make note of that, discussion of combining the three categories of our budget, promotion and advertising, visitor center and website development and maintenance, back into one single category. The reason for wanting to talk about that was to give the promotions committee the freedom to decide, along with the visitor center and our marketing advertising agency, just exactly how our budget should be put together, and not be what I feel somewhat restricted due to the three different categories that don't allow us the flexibility to move the values of the dollar amounts around in the different sections, especially with our budget, total budget, changing every year. So if we could, I think I'd like to talk about that and see what the committee feels.
I certainly agree. I you know, as someone who came from a business like John's, I appreciate those kinds of budgets that show us the to-date expenses by accurate categories rather than the vaguer categories, and it just makes it easier to see where we're actually spending the
and
dollars.
I think the reality is that's why, you know, I did that monthly update, because the way it works, and it's not necessarily the city's fault, it's just that it'd be by the time, and I know for the members that have been on for a long time, this is a, you know, restatement, but basically, you know, by the time we collect all of the invoices for that particular month, we're still into the, you know, the probably the middle of next month. And then by the time that invoice gets put together, if there's a mistake that we need to correct with the media, if we didn't get a tear sheet, you know, that may take a few more days. Then by the time the city gets it and then they turn around and pay us, you know, we're a good 2 months behind. And that's why I try to keep track with that monthly update, because that's really a more clear picture, I think.
I wanted to say to need for you to continue right. Doing what you've been very, you know,
right.
I really appreciate what you're doing is keeping us more current than the city's able to because of the lag time and the billing and that kind of thing, which will, that report that he gives us probably saves, I'm going to guess from my being here for a while, I bet it saves 45 minutes of meeting just by him having that up-to-date schedule. I think it's wonderful, and I sure appreciate you doing it, and sure. And hopefully we can keep that one going.
Now, Ed, in terms of the visitor center, I mean, I didn't really feel like that was a flexible dollar amount. I mean, we can't say, oh, gosh, visitor center, we're really sorry, but you're only getting it $5,000 this year. I mean, isn't that like a pretty fixed number?
No. And the reason is because that is strictly a fulfillment reimbursement amount.
Oh, it is. And the visitor center that the city gives, the money the city gives the visitor center,
that,
is not part of our budget at all.
No.
Okay.
That was the only reason. And I know that I had a brief conversation with John Weiss, the president of the chamber, and I think Peter was in on that too, was that, no, this is strictly a reimbursement amount. Postage, 800 number, and trade show expense.
Okay.
Those three categories. And so one of the goals would be, when we put the budget subcommittee together, is, and we used to do this every year, we'd sit down with the chamber and we'd say, okay, you know, here's what we're doing marketing, kind of the plan. Here's history on how much we spent on postage and those kinds of things. What do you think?
Right.
And then we'd get their input. Well, if you look at this now, what's happening the way this is currently set up is that one of two things. If the money doesn't get spent out of that category, it doesn't get rolled over. It's gone. Mm-hmm. So it actually, then you've got the visitor center scrambling in some cases to find enough money, reimbursement stuff. And I just think that's so bureaucratic, mm-hmm. and silly. Whereas if we could sit down ahead of time, and as David suggested earlier, the best thing that could happen is halfway through the year, the visitor comes to us and say, we didn't allocate enough money for
right.
stuff. We'll go right back in and give them more. Because it's all based on the obligation that we put on them, you know, to do the fulfillment.
Sure.
Let's say we had a trade show that wasn't budgeted for, or something like John comes up with these ad ideas throughout the year, and if we have a little contingency set aside, we can do some of those things, like the coupon guide that we did, you know, earlier, and some other things. So I just think it gives us the freedom to be what we had in mind to do. And once we got their blessing and stamp of approval, we were off and running. So they have the final word if they think we're going in the right direction, and they can look at what we're, you know, what we're trying to do.
Right.
And I'd like to get back to that and let this committee decide the best way for that money to be, you know, apportioned.
I agree.
What would be the process? We agendize it, we discuss it. Does the actual changing, I don't know, Andrea, does the actual changing of something like this require the city council to then vote on an administrative change to this, or is it something it adopted by?
I don't particularly think it needs the council approval, because you're not changing the amounts, you're changing how it's, I guess, allocated. Definitely discussions with the finance director and the city manager would be important, but I don't believe it would need to go to city council.
Okay. So we will have that then agendized for next month. It does indeed make sense to be flexible, as we've decided in this last year. The ability to come up with these last minute ideas is important.
It certainly will increase the the amount of time we take at each meeting, though, to discuss the budget. And I think that Ed was right. I remember that discussion. The council felt we were spending much too much time in the minutia of the budget rather than the overall promotion. So when we do this, we'll have to be cognizant of the fact that we won't take a lot of time at each meeting to get into the...
Well, and I agree with that. I think that if you look at what we used to have, the things that took the most time was trying to discuss how we were, if we had any extra money. And that's where John's report to us, what showed us a current, the one we've had for the last year or so, or longer, he gives us an actual picture of really where we are. And so I think that's what has saved this committee so much time talking about, because as we get down to this, if you looked right now, according to the city's finances, we've only spent 75% of our budget. So then we'd go to John and say, well, what's left to spend? And then we'd have this discussion. Well, we still have this bill out there and this bill, because it takes a while for the Sunset Magazine, for example, to bill John, and then for John to submit the bill and for the city to pay the bill. So all those things take time. So we were sitting here and spending hours in the course of 2 or 3 months or longer, just spending so much time going, where are we, where are we, where are we? And the council said, you know what? We'd really like to figure out a way to keep you from having to do that. And one of the things that came out of it was John being willing to give us this.
The toll-free number call-ins. And I know we had the separate number now that goes with the cover. And I know, by the way, this is the alternate month, so we're not on the cover of the travel guide this month. Like my heart stopped when I went into the Denny's and I didn't see it there. And I remember now, they're staggering the months, which is a help, I guess.
It was only 2 months. That's what we contracted, was just 2 months, and it was April and May.
Oh, April, May. I thought it was going to be. Oh, I thought he said for some reason it wasn't going to be contiguous.
No.
Okay.
No. We decided to do April, May, and then one of the things, of course, that we'll probably talk about is if we want to do it again next year.
And I was looking at the toll-free numbers, and I'm not. You know, you're not seeing a huge thing, but then I remembered, and that's why we turned from there to the TOT page. That is, as I remember, this panel used to have more representation from the innkeepers in town, but we now have Ed. That this really doesn't show up necessarily in toll-free calls. What it shows up is in people coming in with the coupons from the book itself.
Right. And what I plan on doing is I'm going to reach out to the advertisers that were in the last 2 months of that guide and see if they saw an increase in business as a result of Morro Bay having the cover and then the referral to the Morro Bay page inside the guide. So, and I'll try to get that report to you by next month.
I mean, because the what's the word I'm looking for? It's another word I'm blanking on here. Anecdotal evidence suggests, looking at the TOT, that there is a substantial increase over last year for the similar months, and that's why I'm wondering if we can attribute that in some way or evaluate it based on what that ad did. And if that's responsible for it, then indeed, obviously, that boosted it. Heather, you had a comment?
Well, yeah, I just was going to ask Peter. I mean, we haven't seen really any increase in the 1-800 numbers. I mean, they've been pretty pathetic. but do you feel like that? I mean, we thought the guide looked great. I mean, obviously, we talked about how it was all across the state and it was terrific. But I mean, did you feel like it? You got any response to the visitor center
Through the 2 months as that came out? I don't know if we really increased the numbers that drastically.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can see that we've increased the number of visitors that come in. So I don't know if they're carrying coupons or not. I mean, the questions are always asked every day through phone call and visitors. Where's the best place to eat and where's the best place to stay? And, you know, we give them that. We give them that list.
I think you have to also remember that guide is not designed to elicit phone calls.
Right.
It's not a guide that makes calls. They're not asking for calls. That number is not a prominent part of the ad.
Sure.
Another thing.
Down consistently, then that's something to be concerned about. But the reality is that most people are comfortable going to a website as opposed to calling. And they're going to be able to download their brochure. I mean, all the things that you have in that packet, I mean, we certainly need to fulfill those. But what we found is people just assume, you know, it's immediate gratification. I mean, they go to a website, they can get their lodging questions resolved, they can find out where to dine, they can know how to get here. I mean, all the things on our website, and that's really why, you know, over the years we've really tried to enhance that site, because that's really, you know, we can create interest with an ad. It's the website, hopefully, that will sell them and get them to come.
If we wanted in the future to do a little better job of seeing just how many people showed interest in as a result of the guides, we could always put a call to action if we were to do it again, to say, like Peter's doing with the coupons, and that's say, you know, go to the visitor center and get a free visitor's guide. You could very easily put that copy in anything that we did, and they could track people who came in off of that. But I will tell you, to me, at least our business, we still see a huge amount of 800 calls on our 800 lines. And the reason is because people that want to book a room oftentimes want to talk to people. You know, it's one thing to see a picture on a website. And yes, our web bookings are, you know, a big part of our business now through all over the internet. But still, we get a substantial number of 800 calls. So while a visitor center may not see as many calls because of a city website or something, it isn't necessarily true for the lodging. And also, I'll tell you that, and that's why I think it's so important to get a report to you guys about the coupons used in these two. That would be the ultimate, to me, measure of any success that we had in that, was to get to those lodging places and say, how'd you do?
No, I think that's probably, you know, a realistic picture of the pattern, I mean, of how people book a room. I mean, they go on the website to find out whether they want to come here, and then they go to, you know, the lodging directory, and then at that point, they're off of the web, because we don't really have a real, you know, like a blanket booking agent where people can just,
right,
you know, book a room. So then they get into the going back to the traditional way of calling.
I think
there's still a lot of people, too, especially an older demographic, that want that security to know, okay, I talked to somebody, I have my room. I mean, for the longest time, I didn't want to, you know, I wanted a paper.
And it costs us money, because we're not only paying if they book on Travelocity, we pay a $16 per transaction fee to the GDS, the Global Distribution System, plus, because Travelocity is a travel agent, they have an IATA number, and that makes us pay another 10% to them. So if you go to Travelocity and you book a room at our place, it costs $16 plus 10%. So therefore, we encourage people to call our toll-free 800 number, and we save all those fees. And frankly, we advertise on our website that you won't find a deal any cheaper on the internet than you will right on our website. So if people, you know, go to our website and they want a room, we encourage them to call us rather than saying, okay, I've seen the website, now I'll go back to Expedia or Orbitz and I'll book the room. So we try to encourage them to do that. So, you know, again, that's probably one of the reasons for, you know, us still having strong toll-free calls.
And you said the innkeepers, like, keep the coupon stapled to the invoice so they can track who came on a coupon and somehow.
Right. Well, people with property management systems like we have, we actually have two different reports. We do a source code report, which is basically how'd you hear about us, and it's fairly subjective. But, you know, I mean, maybe they saw they saw an ad, but really it was the website, but really it was somebody telling them about the place. So that's the subjective part. You're not really sure, but we do track by source code. And then if they're given any kind of a discount at all, we track it by market code. So if they're given a AAA discount or whatever, we know, or a coupon.
They came in on the
right.
coupon.
So and we break all three of the coupon books down. So we have three different numbers every month about how many from each magazine. So for me, it's easy to track what we did in this deal because we keep track of that separately than we do from the traveler discount guide and the hotel coupon guide versus the traveler coupon guide. So because there's three of them out there. So.
All right. Well, we have May and June. So by the next meeting, it's possible that we might see from a report from the other innkeepers a net effect.
I'm going to bring you something. Okay. I don't know how complete it'll be, but I'll do that for you. You want me to talk about the TOT real quick?
Sure, yeah.
Just to let everybody know, April of this year was up 7.2% over April of last year, which was terrific. So far, year to date through the month of April, the city is up 9.6%. in TOT over last year, so which equates to about a little over $54,000. So I think that's terrific, and we're also on a mark that if May and June stay flat with last year, which I don't think they're going to do, I think both of those numbers are going to be. They actually have 29.
Oh,
I believe.
Okay.
I mean, that may not be exactly accurate here, but they. But they have 29 rooms.
Oh, yes, that's sure.
And it's a nice place. Mm-hmm. Flat screens.
No, that is, and I guess you see this rising in the face of the gas prices and other things. So it almost shows one of the things which, I don't know, history teaches, at least the Great Depression that my grandparents used to talk about teaches, that certain things like recreation tend to be recession-proof in some ways. You saw that in the 1930s. It didn't hurt Atlantic City. Or the resorts of Newport in Rhode Island as well. So it might be interesting that in an increasingly recessionary economy, the city once again look at its asset in tourism as being perhaps a stable and good investment that other places will wish they had. Anything else from the budget report? Anyone have? Ed, anyone comments?
Questions? I just noticed that the other receipts are up over $10,000, which seems to indicate, as we were talking about, maybe vacation rentals being more popular this year.
You know what, I'm going to ask Ms. Slayton, our finance director, I'm going to ask her that other receipts if that's where the vacation rentals fall, because this time last year they didn't have a lot of vacation rentals on board for collecting TOT, and then they went after it very aggressively to try to get those folks to come online, and they had quite a bit of success with that, I believe, and so possibly it's resulted in a pretty good increase.
It's a pretty good increase. It's quite a large increase. In fact, it's the only increase, I think, of that magnitude in all the categories.
Yeah, that's always the challenge of getting that reported.
But if it is vacation rentals, it does show the city's methods are working.
Well, speaking of the methods working, time now for the advertising agency report.
Okay. I had a couple of things. One, I wanted to, there was a request last meeting to take a look at some of the footage that we had from some of the events. This is a very small capsule because I didn't want to take up a lot of time just viewing raw footage, but I think you'll get a pretty good feel for what we have available now. And I think what we could do...
Beautiful.
That's good.
Beautiful minute. Love it.
That's great.
Exactly.
I think that was a real good idea by the committee to try to grab that footage while we can, because, and I think, Peter, too, when you have, you know, when we publicize these events next year, we'll be able to, you know, have some footage, and that's something we can do with our PR efforts next year. We'll be able to, you know, send the stations some footage, and that goes a long way. If they get raw footage that we supply, then we have a lot more opportunity than just being on the community calendar. They'll actually show it.
Actually, we're looking at a possibility of using cable to promote the chamber and all the events as well, and looking at a pretty good package. And one of the key, because we had mentioned that we were taking some footage of these events, was that, gosh, if you can give me some information, we'll put a, what they call a donut, I guess, and kind of get a front and a back, and then stick the donut in the center, and then we kind of advertise which event we want to advertise at that particular time. Right. This is absolutely perfect. It's great footage.
Great. And then I wanted to, if, Nancy, if you could put up that newsletter that's on the overhead. We're in the process of sending out a newsletter to our database, just to kind of a summer kickoff. I thought it would be appropriate. But also, we'll be able to talk about 4th of July, so this will be going out in the next couple of days. And also about Art in the Park, kind of, you know, talking about that, an ongoing event, and then also the trash can promotion that we've been doing. So again, just to kind of like say hi to everybody that's on our 5,000 database, let them, remind them, I know summer's busy, but we could still use them during the middle of the week in the summertime, and just let them know that there's always, I think what we're creating here, and it's a lot of it's through, I think, Peter's patience and and everything else is to do this, and they hadn't really anticipated it. So I think that I think we're on the right track doing this, and I think that certainly the other future events that we have coming up, it probably would be a good idea to get some of those shot as well.
John, were you able to get any footage of the fire muster?
No, I don't think that was one we had talked about.
Peter, you might, if you would, maybe you could get a hold of somebody between, you know, now and, you know, over the next few months or something, and see if anybody did any footage of the muster. Because it was a great event.
It was, and I'll talk to Ken about that. And I know I'd taken some pictures of the event, and I'm sure there's plenty of other folks that have done that too.
Might ask AGP if they took some.
Nancy, did AGP do any take any footage of the fire muster?
No.
Okay.
And one quick thing, not to, I love the montage. I didn't see any of the Lady Washington or Tall Ship in there.
We have taken that. I don't think that was, that was kind of the, this was just that one grouping that we approved.
Sure, but if we were to do a flash animation, the cut that comes to mind is you have the, like, the Lady Washington or a tall ship, and then the kite of the tall ship. Mm-hmm. Sort of like a dissolve kind of in between. I was tossing it out there, but okay.
Yeah. No, we do have some great footage of the tall ships, too. That was another one that we went out and took. And, of course, I think we've used the Endeavor to its fullest extent.
But clearly, that's a full.
It's
that's
not
what
even sailing anymore.
It's what you said, though. It's a full. It's a full minute, and people
right.
who look at that, the city looks mobbed, and the streets look full, and it
right.
always looks like summertime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
isn't it? I mean,
yes, yes,
that's right.
What I wanted to do, and I'll be pretty brief on this, but I thought it would be good since we're getting ready to have a budget meeting. Kind of like some of the goals that I sat down, and I thought it would be good for the committee as a whole to kind of hear those. Some of them are fairly obvious, but just to kind of give you an overview of how I was planning on approaching this next year, and then maybe get a, just a brief discussion, so that would be helpful then for the budget subcommittee, just to make sure we're all on the same page. But, you know, obviously the first goal is to increase transient occupancy tax and sales tax revenues for the city. Also hotel and retail business throughout the city. A goal that we've always had, but it's probably good to keep in mind, is the midweek tourism is really our main effort, because especially during the summer we're pretty well full on weekends. And continue to enhance the image of Discover Your Better Nature, and also enhance excuse me, a fulfillment tool that we talked about earlier, which is the moralbay.org website, to continue to develop that. It's a new type of marketing, which is basically called Web2U, and it's the number two. And it's really about YouTube, and it's about blogging, and it's encouraging people to be interactive on your website. And there are some drawbacks to that. And as an advertising entity, And as especially as a city, you need to have some sort of, you know, restrictions on that. I mean, just and it's, I think I should be clear that I'm not suggesting just a real blog, which a blog basically is you put a topic and you let everybody comment on it. There's really no restrictions. What I'm suggesting is that we do something blog-like and talk about having people have the ability to file their reviews and their comments. We would still edit those and be able to make sure that nothing was put on that was, you know, disrespectful or anything like that to an individual, or, and you know, we may want to filter in some of, and it, you know, if they're negative ones that what can be corrected. I mean, you may want to put those on for credibility, but what I'm thinking is to have a place where people can post things, and we would be, you know, again, we would monitor that. But and a good an idea would be, you know, we've talked about the photography where we would be able to encourage people to post. We'd have a winning photo every month.
Give us your best shot.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you know, we could have either a subcommittee or it could be a volunteer group that could do that. But we would actually have, you know, the photo of the month, and then maybe by the end of the year we would have, you know, a winner of that of the contest or something. But that's just kind of an example. And then what we would get from that is we would, along with their submittal, we would ask for the rights to use it. So we're going to create this great library of photos. And we might even want to pay people, you know, $50 for the, you know, for the winning photograph.
Well, incentivizing, I think, is a key. Nancy, are we live on the web as well here? Could you go to, I think I have a, I know you've probably studied many models. Could you go to Amtrak.com, please? Thank you. They began this. And mind you, they're taking a much bigger risk than the city of Morro Bay is, because you can imagine that more than 50% of Amtrak trips don't arrive on time and the people are likely to be disgruntled. Nevertheless, they have a please tell us about, without the C, it would be, Amtrak would have no C, yeah, thanks. It was an odd, amtrak.com.
Oh.
Yeah, there's no C. I know, that's one of the original flaws in the name, but it's better than RailPax, which was the original name, so. And it'll be on the upper right side, there'll be a, let's see, where's Whistle Stop, Share Your Memories, down trip. And so this is kind of, I don't know if you've, John, you've probably looked, and there's the freelance writer who's starting a blog on this kind of thing. And I don't know if you've looked at models of this kind of thing, but
yeah,
that's probably, is it
But I think
somewhat?
That's a good example of what is being done now with websites and getting people encouraged. You know, TripAdvisor is one example, and it was interesting. I was listening to Clark Howard. I don't know if any of you have listened to him on the radio, but he was talking about TripAdvisor and how some hoteliers really hate TripAdvisor. But he said, when you really think about it, it's actually a real positive to a hotel, because you're getting people letting you know what you need to fix if there's a problem. And also, a great many of those are real positive, and I know people, you know, use those quite a bit. What I'm looking at is a little bit more of a benign thing, where it would be, you know, a little more mellow, where we would have positive information, but we give people an opportunity to give us their critique of, or not really even critique, but filing their memories of their trip to Morro Bay and letting people know what they've done here. A good example is in talking about different types of models. One that I found that was really interesting was in for the state of Pennsylvania. And they talked about real people, real road trips. In fact, Nancy, I guess this would, if you wouldn't mind, maybe you could go to, it's www.visitpa.com. So it's visitpa.com, www.visitpa.com. And if you can see that, let's see if it's on the home page. I can't really recall. Over to the right, I think.
Let's see, they have the video running on the right side already.
Well, as you can see, they're very video oriented on their website.
Which is a montage that looks not unlike the one you created in terms of rhythm and style.
And I don't see if it's on the home page necessarily, but.
I got a submitted video.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting. That's another idea that I had. But anyway, let me just go through it, and you guys can look at the site. But what they did is they use real people, real road trips. And what they did is they, to promote the state, they had six bloggers that they selected. And
it's on the right there, Nancy. If you go back up. You can see it off to the right, that tile that's on the right there. Scroll over that way.
Hello, Stuart.
It's okay, Stuart. You don't have to make a speech.
Okay.
Has the sort of mole-like appearance of what you imagine those web cubicle people working.
So, anyway.
Well, anyway, let me just go through it. But basically what they did is they picked six different people. And everything from a Harley rider, motorcycle rider, to two young girls who were like a 20-something single, a single mom with a couple of kids, kind of their traditional family, and a senior couple. And basically what they did is they let them go across the state of Pennsylvania and file their reports. So if you're a Harley rider, or if you're a single mom, or if you're young, 20-something young lady, you're going to follow those people because they're going to give you a different perspective on your trip. Obviously, what a Harley, you know, bike rider is going to talk about is great road trips, great places to go. The young, you know, 20 gals are going to talk about nightclubs and fun things and shopping. So what it did is it gave this, these are real people giving you their review and giving you highlights of what you can do in the state of Pennsylvania. And what they did on the site, and I'll figure out a link and I'll send it to everybody. But, yeah, there it is. There, as you can see, one's a Harley driver.
Click on the Harley rider, yeah. Meet Tom.
Wait, click on Meet Tom if you would. So, you know, hit the open road with him. So basically what he's going to do is...
Ooh, video.
And if you put play his video, it'll be an introduction. Broadband.
Road trip. Man, let's go for a ride.
So just a really brief little, just his introduction to it. He's inviting you to go with him. So, and then if you go back, Nancy, you can see.
I think riding the Harley is the only way.
Those are all the different people there. You see, like, if you scroll over the people, or click on maybe one of them. So he's a blogger for historical trips. So basically, you kind of get the idea. I mean, we would have people that are all different types of tourists that come to Morro Bay, and then they would talk about their trip. You could do you find that there's already people, you know, putting videos on particular sites. And again, this is something you really can't control. But a way to get positive things on YouTube would be to have a contest and actually encourage people to go on and produce like a 30-second spot, or do their on the website, encourage people to do that and submit them to our website. And then you have them kind of similar to what they had there, real people, you know, real reviews. That way what happens on YouTube is you have a series of different things that are positive about Morro Bay, and they're free. I mean, we haven't really paid for any of that, and it's international coverage. So those are kinds of, I think, you know, just as your consultant, I mean, those are the things that I think would be important for us to really consider and look at, because they're really what's happening now. The other idea too is with the, just moving on with the photography festival, I know that's on our agenda. I would, you know, like to pursue that and maybe have the agency help in kind of getting that going. Place greater emphasis on our internet advertising. You know, we've had great success with using the direct mail. Our broadcast efforts, continue our efforts there with sponsorships of the weather in the valley. And look, I think that I got some pretty strong support for our continued efforts in Sierra. Maybe we want to expand those beyond what we've been doing. I would hope that the committee would continue with the PR budgeting. I think that we more than paid, you know, for what we put forward with that. And I think we can do even more next year. And continuing to target our empty nesters, because those are the people who can travel in the off season, the people that can come midweek. And then also, I think just we're having a greater, and not to say that it's not good now, but a greater working relationship with the visitor center. We had a meeting just a few days ago to talk about the website and how we can work together on making sure that the information's current and that we're all working on the same page. The website, and from day one, even when we didn't have one, I think I've always said how important it is, and it's going to continue to get more important. But we also have to run ads to get people to go to the website, so that's it's sort of a joint, you know, effort to make it work. But running all these ads, and if we're effective and we get people interested, we need to have them fulfilled very well on the website. I think the good news is that most of the, you know, the design work and a lot of what where the budget went last year is done, so we're going to be able to do like maybe some of these blog-like things on the website. Things have really changed in the world of advertising, and a lot of it is this whole web to you type thing. But maybe, you know, just if there's any kind of discussion about it, but that's kind of what I would take with to the budget subcommittee is some of these ideas.
All right. Well, thank you very much. I get that if I were to sum it up, it's basically that the next year we would look to create sort of website 2.
Right.
Version V2 on 2.1 on that, which takes it into a more interactive
right.
form. Then we were happy to just have the information, and now we're going to move not just incrementally, but we're going to try and get ahead of the curve
right.
on this one. I say a picture is worth 1,000. Where I mean the video, I thought that was great stuff. So, all right, we will leave that to the, which will be at form soon, the budget
sure.
subcommittee.
Maybe, David, I think one of the reasons John brought it up so that he could have some direction prior to this, so that he, if we all said, yep, that's a good idea, then it allows him to take a look at and throw dollar amounts at those different categories so that when we meet, we can talk about the money and the implications of, you know, where to spend this money based on what the committee feels overall is a good strategy or not, or how to improve it. I think, if I'm not mistaken, John, you're kind of looking for a little guidance.
Yeah, I think if nothing else, just a blessing that, yeah, I think this sounds like we're on the right track.
I don't think there's anything in there that anyone could disagree with. I think they're all excellent ideas. It's just a matter of where we put the emphasis.
Would we create the budget ad hoc budget committee at first, and then they bring that to him, or did we... How does what would be the order?
Well, I would suggest that the committee just by consensus, like Ed just did, and give the stamp of approval for the approach. I mean, obviously, you leave it up to the budget subcommittee to discuss. You know, if we buy an extra ad in Sierra Magazine, or what do we do with Sunset, or do we go to Westways, or what about cable? Those kinds of things, and then come back to the full group with recommendations with different amounts of money based on, you know, history or whatever. So I think that what John has given us is that, yes, we have this traditional stuff, but here's the new directions that, you know, we'd like to see or that he'd like to the committee to kind of to go for.
And I think, too, that, you know, as we move into this new world where the Internet is such a huge happen, does that mean we pay a webmaster to make that happen? You know, it's not as black and white as, you know, here's $500 for an ad. So I think I think that John is right on, and I think, you know, that we should all commend him on his efforts. Obviously, you know, going out and looking into how we can change the face of what we're doing so that it is current and up to date. But now we're kind of in this, you know, I think that every year as technology changes, we're getting to this place where like, okay, well now history isn't as important as the future will be. And how do we change that? And how do we, you know, make sure that people are finding us who are in different countries and other states who, you know, aren't getting Sunset or what have you. So, you know, I guess to me, I think that John's right on with his plan. We've got all of the elements of the old and all of our old goals, and then we have all of our new concepts and moving forward with that. And so how do we execute it?
And I think that's what, I think that's true. I think what it would be is I go to the budget subcommittee with, you know, a suggested plan, but one that needs input from them and approval, of course. But, you know, and you're right about the budgeting part of it, because what, you know, it's a departure from just buying an ad and, you know, it's fairly clear cut. I look at my company as the facilitator of that. I mean, if I can't do it, then it's my job to go out and find the best person who's going to charge us the least for the best work. And that's really what you hire me to do. And that's how we did, you know, in some cases with the website. And that's another good thing about the way things are now. You don't necessarily need to have that person, you know, putting in an eight-hour day. You pull them out when you need them, and then they, you know, and it's easy to work with because of emailing and everything else. But yeah, I think it, you know, there will be a lot of traditional things still to our budget, but I think it's like with the PR thing that we did. You know, that was sort of a different type of looking at the budget. So that would be what I would bring to the subcommittee, and then I just thought this discussion would kind of help if there's any pieces or things that anybody would really like for us to explore in that subcommittee. Then we, you know, we do that beforehand because we really need to get moving because, you know, we're already looking at August and September insertions right now.
So we could do it formally. Yes, I could make a motion that we the committee endorses the outline of John Sorkin-Frye's quote new approach for electronic outreach for and make that a priority of the budget subcommittee's discussion.
I don't think there's any doubt that electronic media is the way to go, and the emphasis of our money and our budget and focus, since we have all this experience in the print, has to be focused on the web page. And so I would certainly endorse and make a motion, if that's what you want.
He just made the motion. We'll look for a second.
Oh, then I'll second it.
All those in favor?
Aye.
There's your consensus.
There we go. And when we get to the creation of the budget committee, which will be shortly, then we'll be able to discuss that further. Anything else?
Nope, that's all I had.
All right. Moving on to the public relations subcommittee. Met in my absence.
Susie?
had notes.
You have notes. I don't have notes.
Oh, this
we,
was your,
we met well, without your... you and discussed some of the concerns in the coming year, and a lot was some of my experiences as a business owner with who's coming into town and why and what they like about our town. So thinking of, you know, what is our character and what do we want to promote to the rest of the world, the reasons for coming here. What I've seen is we have certainly our people coming from Fresno and Bakersfield, but I also have people coming from the San Francisco Bay Area, from Los Angeles. This last week I had Ireland, England, New Zealand, Australia, Germany, where else? I mean, we have international people coming into town. What they all say is we love Morro Bay. It's such a small town. They love the lack of traffic, and I know we all get upset when there are 10 cars backed up at a stop sign coming off the freeway, but boy, if you tried to go down to Pismo last weekend, I tried, and I turned around and came home. I was trying to go to Arroyo Grande, but I gave up. It was a nightmare. That was ridiculous.
Anyhow, I rode my bike down there, and it was an interesting.
That was probably scary.
It was.
I took 227 and went in the back way.
Yeah, well, you were smart. Anyhow, they like the small town. They like that it's a hometown feeling, that they can afford to be here. They can spend a lot of extra money in shops and things because the restaurants and the hotels are comfortable and clean and nice, but not that high-end kind of L.A. pricing that sometimes you get to be an issue for the town. We basically have two entrances to Morro Bay, and one of them, the main one, is going to be disrupted for at least 4 months of construction, and I would guess a lot more. So I would hope that as part of our budget we think about advertising, maybe on the websites, alternate routes into town, making sure people know the town's not closed, you can still get here.
When does that take place?
They want to start right after Labor Day, which is going to hit our Harbor Festival, it's going to hit the boat parade, it's going to hit all the Thanksgiving and Christmas tourists, and certainly all the shops on Morro Bay Boulevard, but even onto Main Street and down to the Embarcadero. It's going to be very confusing for people how to get into town. And I think even once the roundabout is up and running, we're going to need lots of signage, and it's okay. You know, big boats, people are coming in with RVs and boats, are going to need directions probably to go in. I don't even want to say at Main Street because that's not a very comfortable or safe off-ramp situation either. So I don't know. And I think also with the city maybe addressing some relaxation of the signage requirements to put a sidewalk sign out. I know people have to pay a fee. I think they should probably consider waiving that during the construction so people, the businesses on Morro Bay Boulevard, can get people aware, say, as they're coming in on Main Street, yep, business is still open up here. Just some thoughts.
Did you look into what the city's planning on doing with regards to signage during construction?
No, I didn't.
It might be interesting mm-hmm. to get a hold of. I don't know if Andrea knows anything, but I know that we could probably get a hold of Bruce or somebody, and our public services director, and say, you know, I think you need to voice those concerns directly mm-hmm. to them to let them know that, you know, I mean, because if you take people off on Main Street, or you know, if they go to South Bay Boulevard, it doesn't help them because mm-hmm. coming up Quintana is just going to be just as bad as Morro Bay Boulevard.
No,
so you know, and maybe there's provisions being made that won't affect in any serious way traffic flow at all. I don't know. With construction, I don't know what the plan is. So
I'm not aware of the plan. I'm sure there is one. I'm happy to, you know, forward this information to Bob, and perhaps he can present that some information.
You know, they wanted to do it during the time it didn't rain, and then also with the closure of the bridge in Avila, which is a big, I don't know if you've been to Avila lately, mm-hmm. it's a real nightmare, and they wanted to do that because in the summertime, because the creek wasn't going to be full. Of course, we had this, you know, the least rain we've had in 100 years, so they could have done it in the wintertime, but. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I just think that it's information is good. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the whole thing. If people are aware, then you know that alone is really all you need.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm wondering, was that maybe the public relations subcommittee will put this on our list of things to do at our next meeting? Is to meet with the city officials mm-hmm. or appropriate for this and report back mm-hmm. next month how we're going to handle that.
Well, I think you ought to make it a future agenda item to which will get everybody's attention with regards to just put on their discussion of traffic flow during construction of the roundabout.
Traffic flow, signage, and
yeah, something to that effect.
All right, why don't we do that, Andrea? We'll agendize, and then if we need to have an appropriate person from the City Public Works come and maybe make a presentation on their mitigation. I like that mitigation for that. And anything, Heather, anything else from your discussion?
No, I think, I mean, Susan covered it really well. I as the, you know, PR subcommittee, you know, we plan to be in close communication with John and the promotions committee as a whole to make sure that we execute, you know, the tasks of getting, you know, the word and direction out there as best as we can.
Okay, I wasn't at that meeting. I did come across something. I don't know if this fits under concept of advertorial, but what do you do? And I don't know how many of you saw this. Why don't we have to see 1, 2, 3, 4 to the left, and 1, 2, 3 to the right. And I think, let me see if I have one. I may be short. Sorry, Andrea. One copy.
We'll share.
I don't know if John caught this one from this interesting article. It's a Chicago Tribune story, and yet I'm getting it sent to me by my cousins in Florida who saw it in the Miami-Dade Sun Sentinel. So here's a story that went out nationwide. I don't have anyone here seen this? No?
Mm-mm.
Okay, yeah. You know, they mentioned from Jacques Cousteau to Arnold Schwarzenegger would think this is a great idea, except, unfortunately, the way Morro Bay was mentioned, Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger has said the zone makes his state, quote, a national leader in ocean management. But in fishing communities like Morro Bay, population 10,000, the new state restrictions could put many fisheries out of business, said Mayor Janice Peters. Under increasing federal and state regulations, the town's annual tax receipts from fishing have already declined to $3 million from $10 million. But here's where the advertorial could have maybe been helped had we had a chance. Earlier this month, as the sun set over Morro Rock, the old volcanic capstone, Peters dined on a salad topped with fresh grilled salmon caught by a Morro Bay fisherman. but she wondered how long the restaurant would be able to serve a fresh catch from local watermen under the new regulations, enforcement of which begins this summer. Quote, the scientists who say the oceans are in crisis, which I don't agree with, don't think about it. The fishermen have become an endangered species, she said. And, you know, I don't know what the actual process is to go through with the city, because I'm tired, for vetting and controlling these things, but it ends up looking like, if you read this article, that the whole state and we look for the better nature thing is in on it, except it appears that Morro Bay isn't here. And, you know, I'm wondering, had we had the chance to insert some verbiage, maybe the correct thing would have been, one, the scientists say the oceans are in crisis, which I don't agree with, which is a personal opinion. You could have, maybe we could have massaged that a little bit. And the fishermen of endangered species might have been, Morro Bay seeks to preserve its unique, rare, valuable maritime heritage, which we've talked about. That's promoting a positive thing. And so what I don't know is if there's a policy in effect with the city, and maybe, Andrew, you can do that, that has to do with how we can coordinate when public officials make statements and how they affect the outreach for the city, because this is apparently is a national story, and we have a better nature thing, and, you know, it's a question.
Well, I think it's maybe the safest thing to say at this point is that it is difficult often when things are said and then how they're interpreted and how they're written. So I can talk to Bob Hendricks about this. I know that often exactly what's said sometimes isn't put in, but certainly I will share that information with him and the commission's or the board's concerns.
That's what maybe we need to, like, what's the word I'm looking for? I've learned from my other activism and other issues is you come up with a soundbite, you have a set of them, and you just stick with it. And that doesn't give the media the chance to do
well. And I know that there's been some talk about trying to create, you know, an alternative viewpoint as far as how many fish are here and, you know, the health of the fishing community. But until that gets organized, it's hard to combat this kind of a thing because people like, for the most part, like something negative. And that's what this, you know, they like to make a negative article much more.
And this one is saying give them words they can't fool with, like it's whether you do or don't agree with the science or the fish, what we do have is this rare maritime heritage. We have a great historical, great fishing village, stuff that actually works to our, from a promotional and advertising benefit, as opposed to giving them the controversy that one would have.
Well, I think the biggest thing that I've seen, just limited to the fishing industry, is that, you know, the glass is half full versus half empty, that there's still a lot of fish, there's still a lot of fishing. I mean, I listen to this fishing show every Saturday, and, you know, throughout that show, which is broadcast, I think, down in Southern California, but it's kind of hits different radio stations, you know, they're constantly talking about, and you can tell what the purpose of this is, that there's plenty of fishing. And I think that's really the key. You know, there's an article in the paper today about albacore. And if anybody's ever gone albacore fishing is not only is it fun, it's a great fish to catch and eat. And they're thinking the albacore season is going to be really great because it's already albacore already here. So, you know, it's again, it's the glass half full versus half empty, and talk about all the fishing and all the things that, you know, can still be done, I think is important because, you know, some of these, the things that they're preserving, it doesn't affect, you know, a lot of, I mean, it affects some fishing, but not all fishing. There's still plenty of fish out there. You know, that sport still can survive.
Why can't we prepare an article and call Michael Martinez? He's got a phone number. I mean, maybe he's interested in hearing the other side, so to speak, and maybe, you know, he's a reasonable guy and want to listen to what we have to say.
Yep, possibility. Just as I say, the way to, and I know it's hard to react to this because I didn't know this interview took place or this was happening.
We don't have any control of who picks that up. You know, I'm sure it wasn't a direct quote from. I mean, she wasn't interviewed by Michael Martinez.
Unless for some reason he was out here and on assignment somewhere else and got this story and and maybe
probably,
or maybe the idea is
probably a phone call.
Probably.
You know.
I'm sorry, go ahead, Dave.
No, please, Heather.
Well, the other thing that I wanted to kind of bring up since we're talking about this, and I don't want to, you know, get off the thing that we're interested in trying to research the implications of what that would mean in terms of tourism and publicity, and if that's something that the committee is interested in taking a stand on, or if that it's our place to take a stand on that. but I'm not sure that's something we could maybe agendize for the next meeting. But it seems like, I mean, obviously you're kind of trying to do damage control is what it sounds like, David, but I mean, certainly there are opportunities related to fishing and the bay and all of that that we might consider.
I was going to say, it's not only damage control, but it's seeing that how this can happen preemptively now, come up with the strategy so that when anyone is called, when people are asked about these things, we have prepared statements to give so that we aren't surprised later. Maybe that's what I'm actually looking at, is coming up with, coming up with a way to handle what's going to be an issue that we want to get press on, or we will be getting press on whether we like it or not, and since it's going to appear possibly nationally, having a strategy. I don't know if John thinks that's in terms of feeling. I mean, I've never dealt with the major media this morning.
You know, it's worthwhile, but I don't know if you know, and I don't know how else to say this. I don't know if we've necessarily been asked. You know, I mean, it's if the council wants, you know, to have a statement prepared or you know a recommendation by the, you know, the promotions committee on how to address, you know, the fishing situation. You know, that's one thing. I think it's probably part of our, if we go ahead with the PR efforts, I mean, that's probably, you know, one of the things we could put in our PR plan is to, you know, send out some positive stories about the fishing industry here locally, you know, and the fact that there are still boats that go out and there's still, you know, it's still a fun sport, and, if that's the approach we want to take. But, you know, I think what Janice was trying to do is to say, you know, all this sounds great, but, you know, it affects people's lives, and if people want to have these preserves, and it may affect your ability to get fish on your table, you know. So, I mean, that's a strong statement, too. And necessarily, is that a bad one? I don't know. I mean, it's pretty accurate because it's this, when you read this, you know, everything sounds great. Well, they're going to, you know, preserve, have a national preserve and all. But then you got to look at the implications, and I think that's really all the article says, is there's consequences to this. And there's a real big controversy about how they've measured how many fish are in the water. And, you know, how we're affecting it by small commercial fishermen going out is really not what's depleted the fishing industry. I mean, I think that the, you know, the city wants to support the fishermen, and I certainly agree with that. But, you know, there is positives to having a preserve too, because people just naturally think that this is going to be, you know, it's the public, the uneducated public thinks, well, that's great. That means it's going to be a really pristine place, and they're going to have this great preserve, and you know, in that sense, it's a positive for tourism. It's not a positive when it comes to, you know, one of the biggest industries that the city has. You know, I mean, that's obvious.
I liken this to the roundabout discussion. It would probably be very important for you to make sure that you had the information about, you know, what it entails, what a marine reserve really means to the city in all realms, you know, prior to making any sort of discussion or recommendation, and that information is available, but I would stress that would be very important to get all the information so you've got that at hand.
So maybe this is another task of the Public Relations Subcommittee for our next month would be to...
Well, what does the committee think about this? I mean, obviously there's a couple of us that have been speaking, but no one else has been. I mean, what is the consensus of the committee? Is this something that we're interested in spending any time at all on?
Well, part of me is our job is to bring people to visit Moore Bay. I mean, whenever discussions start going, it's easy for me to try to see, okay, where does that lay in bringing visitors to Morro Bay. Obviously, negative press of any kind, but as long as they spell the name right, I mean, it is press about Morro Bay. I don't think it's that negative of an article, but I sure understand what David is talking about. I think it's something that if the PR subcommittee can do something about it, then fine. But I think, generally speaking, I don't think we have any control. I don't think the city's going to turn over press releases to the promotions committee with regards to nitrates in the water or you know, marine sanctuaries. These are citywide issues and stuff, and I don't think they directly, you know, impact our job. And we can make our job a lot more complicated if we start taking on so many of these kinds of things. But again. For the promotions committee to get involved with wanting to respond to this and try to get something else out there, that's one thing. But I don't think that we could ever stop. I don't think we'll ever be able to be involved in something like this not happening to begin with.
I agree with that. And also, I think that probably...
As I said, my interest was only, you know, it just caught me that one line, the fishermen had become an endangered species. I was thinking, well, it's not the same as the positive press, even as by this would have been the, something along the lines of, like, say, because here in Morro Bay, we really seek to preserve that rare, unique, special maritime heritage. Suddenly, mm-hmm. those are come to the city words as opposed to other words. And if there was a way to, as I say, help the policymakers know or have a verbiage that can be used in these cases that works to our advantage rather than falling into that kind of trap. That's an easy way to get a free plug that doesn't look bad. Ooh, a rare and quaint maritime heritage.
It does, David, but that's a whole other topic. How do we get them to do that is a whole other situation.
Yeah.
What you're saying is very true, but does this committee have the ability to do that?
Right, and I think that Ed's point's exactly on target. I mean, so what if we did say, gosh, you know, here's a press release we've prepared of approved statements and, you know, and we are taking a stance on this or that. I mean, is it going to make any difference to anyone in the city? And is it in line with what our tasks are, which is to bring tourists to Morro Bay? And I think that, you know, we're lucky that we're even reading this because it was in Florida. I mean, we have no idea how many articles could be out there that we don't even see.
Well, I think Ed Biagini brought up a good point in that our job is to bring tourists here. And so as it relates back to fishing, I think about all that we really can do is, again, talk about the opportunities for fishing and not take it off our list just because, you know, this preserve. Because from my understanding, there still is... that sport still exists, and I think it's incumbent upon us to let people know that they can still come here and have a great time fishing and that we still have plenty of seafood, you know, to eat. And that's just part of what we do in our advertising.
Not to belabor the subject, but, I mean, this goes so far beyond sport fishing, it's unbelievable. And it's more about the commercial fishing and what has given Morro Bay the ambiance and the desire for people to come here to begin with. And that's that fleet that's sitting out there and all that's not just about sailboats and yachts, because I don't think that, you know, I don't see, you see what you see when you turn right on Coleman Drive on the Embarcadero is what you, or the Embarcadero is you see that all the commercial boats lined up, you know, against the shoreline. And, you know, that's the problem with you. You stop commercial fishing, and that's what you're going to lose. The boats are either going to sink. Fishermen, that's the kind of things that they're up against. I mean, they've got to pay as much attention to what they can go fish and where as if you were looking at tide books every day. I mean, it's almost a weekly thing. So I think we need to. I think we need to keep our pulse on stuff. I appreciate seeing an article like this, but I just don't think we can. You know, if someone comes to us and asks us our opinion with regards to these commercial fishing activities or sport fishing or whatever, then I think we should jump all over it. But I don't think that we should spend, you know, a lot of our time trying to change and keep things like this from happening. Because I don't think it's going to do any good. But.
All right, well, just again.
Oh, I was just going to say maybe it's opening too big a can of worms.
Or anchovies, as a case. Yeah. Depending on the bait that you pick. Okay.
We've taken that bait. Well, the good news is that the opposite can also happen. I don't know how many people get the Cal Poly annual review, but the Slow Sea Project, who's been here before and presented to us, got a huge spread, and there's a lot of good positive stuff, and this goes out to the Cal Poly community, alumni, and so forth, that the Slow Sea Project, which we've had brought here before, has gotten a $3.2 million grant to study our marine, this ties in with it, our marine ecosystem and what it's worth to the city. In fact, just here alone, they have installed $500,000 worth of sophisticated equipment in Morro Bay to start quantifying ocean runoff, creek sources, nutrients, and other things. I mean, they're spending a lot of money to study exactly what our marine ecosystem and sanctuaries are worth. And in fact, the fellow, Linwood Pendleton, who came with Allison Chan to make the presentation originally, has since left UCLA, where he was a professor, and now has devoted himself full-time to a Coastal Oceans Value Center, which will be working both Morro Bay, the Elkhorn Slough, and Santa Monica Bay. And we'll be looking at all three of those. They've got a 38-foot trawler that they're now going to be using. So this is, I mean, $3.2 million, and we are one of the three cities that have been chosen for this. And hopefully this may answer some of the questions. And here they say right here, this is a unique work. It is a, quote, a collaboration between local fishermen and scientists to understand the health of the resources. Now, there's the positive story that Sierra Magazine might want to come down and cover, this kind of joint initiative where they're working together. They've got a big grant, sophisticated monitoring equipment, and this, I pass on, may be something that the Sierra Club might be interested in doing a story on. And so that would be putting a positive spin on the project.
Be giving us some an update on where they are with all that. And I know David is a liaison between the business group and Slow Seas to kind of keep that all coordinated and going. So 9 o'clock.
Yeah, so I think
at this Rose's Landing.
That's a story. That's a positive advertorial, but that's a positive thing. We might want to get Sierra Club magazine down here to cover in the coming year. That could be a big one. And that, I think, is. Oh, had you ever seen the little cartoon, Nancy? This is the little cartoon that was in the. Always get as this is the beginning of the summer Bay season News. Here, the Bay News cartoon that came out this week, and I think it does remind us all, as we have our buttons here, that every one of us, as you can see from the cartoon, shows the little couple, and here comes the RV of people. Smile for the tourists, Roy. Be a rogue ambassador. Summer begins June 21st. And here it is, June 21st, and there was the Bay News cartoon reminding us all to be friendly and welcoming, should you desire, to the tourists who are coming to this town.
And they're sitting out front of two dogs, right?
Yeah.
yeah, it could be, although it's hard to tell from the angle at the rock. But the other thing is I have a possible idea here, and I know that this was last year's summertime idea, the button. Now, I'm not much of an arts and crafts guy, but I thought, well, what's cheaper even than a printed button that we could work on? And I'd wanted to get a model for this from Amtrak, but they were out of the engineer's caps. I had this idea. I got a little bit crunched in my backpack. Okay, so I went to Burger King and I got one of their cheap crowns. But I noticed that the rock itself makes the shape of either an engineer's cap or a crown. And so what you would have is, and this would be a great thing for the kids, is the Morro Bay hat visor combination.
Cool.
Now
you got way too much time on your hands, pal. I guarantee you.
Ed, I did this between 10:30 and 11 o'clock last night with a glue stick, and I was not sniffing the glue stick. It was non-toxic. But here's the catch: this is simply made out of a piece of pressed recycled cardboard. It's simple printing on a die-cut piece of paper. Cheaper, I'm sure, to order by the thousand. I can see kids in the visitor center getting something like this. And then kind of do what Burger King did, which is on the inside. Let me unfasten it. And by the way, here you have you promote the website on one side. Then we have a little slogan: interesting historical facts, or points of interest, or things to do in Morro Bay on the inside. So it really works as an advertising piece. It can't be but a quarter, a penny, a dime to print these things in bulk. And for the sun that we do have here, it provides, like I said, a visor. I can see grown-ups wearing these as well. Anyway, I'm just thinking, I certainly can look into it. I don't know the companies that do, maybe John knows the companies that do this kind of promotional fulfillment stuff. But it's just die-cut printed paper.
Well, I mean, there are certainly companies that sell visors, but they're more attuned to just putting a logo on something. I mean, you'd have to find somebody to manufacture this for you. I don't know really what it would cost. I've never done anything like that.
I'd like to see those put on regular visors. Just, you know, regular for anyone.
Okay, well, as I say, the kind of fabric visor, that becomes a complicated and sort of an expensive thing to sell. I was just looking, this literally has to be even less expensive than the buttons, which are only, 50 cents or so a piece. And they can be stored flat. They don't take a lot of space to store either. And I just see, you know, handing them out to kids either at the visitor center or innkeepers having them on the desks in the hotels. You could even have you could do a map on the inside or a guide to things around town. And of course, it's a take-home thing as well that reminds them of their visit to Morro Bay.
You know, I don't know if you guys have been to, well, I'm sure all of you have been to the Harbor Festival, but the Tribune for years has been giving out, actually Sun Bulletin has been giving out like little spongy hats, and the kids love them. And I mean, if the Tribune's buying them, they can't be too expensive. So.
Peter, I don't know. Would you like the prototype? Anyone want
to? David, I think that'll going to give you something to Google tonight. To see if we can find somebody that makes those, because I think it's a very clever idea.
It seems like a really, like a chamber project. I mean, it would be best if we could get, I mean, if the chamber was interested in taking it on, you could produce them and then get them to the hotels and the restaurants and the visitors.
We can research,
stuff.
Sure.
Excuse me. All right, well, that's all I have to
do. I'll take your creation with me.
Okay, yeah, this is one of a kind, so we'll.
I'll take good care of it, I promise. Yeah. Could you put it in a box for me, please?
Right. That'll end up in a display case in City Hall someday as the official Morro Bay prop.
We also discussed the budget and some ideas for the next fiscal year. And that's about it. It was just discussing the website in general.
Peter, you had a meeting regarding the website, and you were talking about having somebody at the chamber delve into it on a more, not full-time, but a focused effort that the chamber was going to make. Did you ever have that meeting?
We did. We did, actually. And John was gracious to come to that meeting. And what we did, basically, is just analyze our website on the chamber side and see if we can make it. And I mentioned to this at the beginning that we're trying to make it a little easier to maneuver, if there's some things that we can add or delete to it, maybe more focus in on different categories within the chamber. They're being explored right now. I do have some people looking at it. John mentioned a couple of ideas, and we're basically exploring it right now.
We did discuss, I think, the part of the webpage that the chamber has versus the front page that the promotions committee is responsible for, and that person who would be doing the web adjustments for the chamber would be the same person, or we could try to have him be the same person that works for our subcommittee or our promotions committee, and if it was necessary to budget some of the additional funds or share the responsibility on a pro rata basis for what we do versus what the chamber does, that the committee wanted to bring that up to the full committee to see if they were interested in that type of arrangement.
Does that was that an attempt to address the issue that came up last month about making sure things we see need
yes,
to be
one
taken
person,
care of?
Yes, one person would be responsible for the full web page rather than having the division between the chamber being responsible for part of it and we being responsible for part of it, that the same person would be responsible for the whole thing. However, the financial burden of doing that, the chamber was taking on a major financial obligation here because they're paying for their part of it. And to supplement the financial obligations that they have for our part of it, we would allocate some of our budget funds that are targeted toward the webpage to this webmaster type person. And I don't know how the committee feels about that, but we did discuss that also.
Well, I can weigh in on it. I don't really agree with that, and I'll tell you why. Is because their changes are far more labor intensive than the promotions committee's needs. They have to change, you know, if some hotel changes their rates, if a restaurant goes out of business or a new restaurant comes on board, if somebody changes their hours. I mean, these are ongoing needs that somebody at the chamber needs to do because it's too expensive to have, you know, my person do it, because they're pretty simple text changes. But I think when it comes to, you know, putting the icons on the homepage, trying to keep the updates, I mean, if nothing else, if there's somebody at the chamber or the the website committee, really the idea behind the website committee was to have some people that were continually looking at the website that could get to me and say, you know, I'd like to get this changed, or can you put this on, or, you know, give me just how I had another team of people looking at it. And the same is true for PR subcommittee, is the PR subcommittee is really, you know, the idea behind that, at least from my standpoint, was to give me ideas of things that I can then take, you know, my abilities and go out and promote, you know, themes and different, like the talk about the small towns, a great story. So I think to have one person take that over, unless they're very experienced and they know all the technical things, because what's happened in the past, and it's certainly nothing wrong, nothing against anybody that's done it, but they've broken links, and then what happens is the money that you thought you were saving ended up spending more to go back and fix whatever they did.
This was not so much for a money-saving situation as it was to have, what you said, a complete design element that would be common throughout the whole website, front page and back pages alike. What happens is, you're correct, that the information does not get to you, but one person from the chamber who gets that information can supply that to you, and it could be the very same person who's designing the working for the chamber, because they're going to have that information. Someone on the web committee can focus on one person, and that's the contact person for the web page, and he can work for the chamber and for you also. And so it's just a matter of all the information funneling into one area, not taking anything away from your responsibility. He still can call you and say, John, fix this, do this, we want to do this, or whatever, and you can take care of what you take care of. But at the same time, he's taking care of the rest of the website also. So I think that was our thinking in making that recommendation, not to upset the whole apple cart.
Well,
that's what's it's up for discussion, and if page where you click on something
right.
is totally responsive to what's behind it. So many times if it's not connected right on the front page, and that's the chamber's responsibility, it doesn't work. And we found many instances where the links, as you say, were broken. You click on something that says it's going to take you one place, it doesn't, it takes you back to the front
right.
page again.
And that's what
and
we're trying to,
you, yeah, that
that's,
you have to fix.
That's exactly what we're trying to remedy right now. And as I said, I have Kevin Klepfeldt that's actually doing it, has great experience, eager to do it, wants to help out. And so we'll do the internal things, and we're probably doing it at least once or twice a week to update everything.
So is there any reason why Kevin can't contact John and tell him that this is wrong or that's wrong?
Absolutely.
Or change this?
There's no problem at all doing that. And so we can keep on the same page, and he'll do a fine job.
I think, in my opinion, that you said exactly the wrong word, which is we're training Kevin. I just feel like we need somebody who knows the internet really, really.
He knows
well.
The internet, Heather. It's not, and maybe I chose the wrong word. I'll rephrase that. There are certain things that you have to know. Even the webmasters don't know how to get into chamberware. You have to be trained, and I'll use that word, trained, because chamberware is different.
But because part of your website is chamberware?
It is.
But he's done website work in the past?
Yeah, oh, yes, yes. I mean, he knows what he's doing there. And it's not starting somebody from scratch. He's at a pretty high level. And we're not looking at a webmaster here. We're looking at somebody that can do hour changes, rate changes, phone number changes, things like that. It's not that complicated.
No, it's not. I mean, we've got Elements, and my company uses Elements, and it's very easy to use. It's just a matter of, I mean, I think my biggest concerns with the website have been when we've come up with these icons that have appeared on the front page that just feel like they have no connection whatsoever with the website. You know, they just look like a cartoon image that's been put up there, and I mean that's my concern, is that we just make sure that we're preserving the integrity of the website. And I think that you guys are on the right track with coming up with someone who's overseeing that, but I think that, you know, as we were talking about in the advertising agency report with John, as we're moving into a different place where we're going to be doing more with the internet,
it's very clear on what my responsibilities are. If I'm responsible for the front page, that's my responsibility. If the dates are wrong, that's my responsibility. It'd be nice to have some help, you know, in case I miss it or I'm out of town and maybe I forget, because I'm human, to take something off. If somebody sees it, you know, email me. Say, hey, you got to get that off of there. You know, I hope that wouldn't happen a lot, because I'm trying to keep a real close tab on it. And what I'm trying to do now is, you know, I'll contact Stuart and say, make sure Monday morning you take off the car show, because it's going to go away, you know. And so And then we actually had a little transition of people, and I've got, Stuart's accessible. I call him, he gets it done right away. So I made that internal change on my own from somebody that was doing it before. And so I think in that sense, we have a webmaster. I think there's two different degrees of effort, though, because we have two sites in one. We have a visitor site, and if it was only a visitor site, it would be real easy for us to just handle the whole thing. Because, again, there's changes in the calendar and all those things. But overall, there's not changes almost on a weekly or daily basis. The other part of it is, the other part of that website's a chamber website. And chamber websites, really, there's a lot of mixer things that need to be put on there. There's changes in businesses and all those things. We can help facilitate that, and that's really what we just agreed to do. I was going to go in and clean up a lot of the things that are current problems, kind of get these guys up to speed, get all that done for them, and then hopefully Kevin can go in and do the minor things. When I say minor, like putting up, and this is on the back side, not on the front page of the website, a mixer or your China trip or something like that, just text. But I think that it'd be good to go into next year with the agreement that if it's anything goes on the homepage, it goes through us, because Peter doesn't mind. He would prefer the help because he wants, if it's the kite, we took one of the kite elements off and put a photograph on, and it just makes it better. Because when they go to that, when the visitor goes to that homepage, they're interested in planning their trip, what they're going to do here. They're not necessarily interested in the tire store or, the other places, which is more local chamber type things. So there has to be this sort of it's a tough challenge because it has to work together, but it's also separate. And I think from a money standpoint, we could certainly, Stuart could do all those things for the chamber, but I just don't know if it's necessary, because I think the only problem that's been really, frankly, is Billy's busy, and he hasn't been able to do it on a timely basis. And you've got to say that I totally disagree with what you're saying. I just want to make sure that we preserve, the visitor part, that we still have control over that. But maybe there's a happy medium where overall, we could have my webmaster help when there's things that you can't do, or Kevin. Yeah,
whatever works is what we want. Yeah. Whatever works is what we want, because anything would be an improvement. It was just a thought that we had, and that was at our meeting. But if that works for the chamber and works for John, then I guess we're all in favor of it.
So
I have no problem with it. No.
Okay.
Restate what you're saying, Ed, though. So what you're saying is that Kevin at the chamber will oversee the whole website and the
changes.
No,
just the chamber portion of it. And any other changes, John's going to do. But Kevin and John will be in contact if changes need to be made that he sees.
And if there's something that Kevin, I think it would probably be good for the promotions committee to be okay with, if Kevin's got a challenge that it's okay for me to, we have plenty of money to do this, is that, I can have my guy help him with it. Because in the long run, that's probably money well spent, because we have a site that's up to date and looks professional, and he'll learn it, there are always new things to learn. But as long as he's capable of going in and making those text changes, it'd be better for everybody to have him do that.
Okay.
That way the majority of our budget's spent on a front page. Exactly. That is the updated design, that is the new look.
Also,
that's where we really want our dollars spent.
Putting the video into the site. That's really where I'd rather see the money spent than just constantly, 2 or 3 hours every week on doing text changes that somebody can do with minimal training.
Yeah, done.
Agree to that, okay.
But and if there's issues with the site, please email me with them, because I think overall we've got a hell of a website that's looks pretty nice, and it for the most part stays up to date. There's always going to be changes and things that need to be done, but if there's something dramatically wrong, let me know and I'll have it fixed that day, or at least the next day.
All right. Seems to resolve to everyone's satisfaction the status of the web. Great. Then we move on to the unfinished business, of which there is none, and the new business, which is of course this the creation of the budget subcommittee and selection of its members. I would like to nominate Mr. Biaccini for the budget subcommittee.
I would second that.
Any discussion?
We need two more people.
Oh, we don't do them all at the same time?
Aye.
We now have a subcommittee. whose, I guess, first role of business will be to meet with Mr. Sorgen Fry, and will happen between now and the next meeting. All right. Then we move on. Next item is the Photographers Festival. John, did you want to have a stay on?
Well, I think that this probably gets back into when we, the budget subcommittee, to maybe appropriate a little money toward the organization of it. I'm not quite sure how we want to pursue it. I was going to have Phil maybe come next meeting because he's got some ideas on it, because it was really his idea that he told me. And then I think possibly getting maybe some people outside of this board or this committee that are photographers that might want to help out on it too, and just kind of form a group of people to get it going. And I know that Janice is really busy, you know, being our mayor, but maybe, you know, she might even want to get involved too, just because of, you know, starting the Bird Festival and how that all got started, you know, maybe even just as maybe not being on the, you know, all the meetings, but kind of helping us with that. But I think that, you know, we start basically by getting a group of people together, and then we kind of work backwards from a date and the content of it. And, you know, maybe we start off with a few baby steps first, and then it sort of grows, again, sort of like the Bird Festival did. But I think it could be a really, really neat event. And I think, again, the nice thing about this event is that it's our unique selling point. And there's a lot of people that couldn't have this kind of festival where Morro Bay can, because of the amount of photographers we have, and then also because of the scenic beauty and the bird aspects of it too, the nature.
If you're going to bring Phil next month, maybe we could continue this and just continue this item under unfinished business, and then have Phil come next month, and we can spend a little time with it.
Sounds good.
Can we do that? All right. And also see about the idea of maybe linking this with the concept for the new website that has the sort of photo blog or submit your best picture, or somehow maybe tying that in and making it part of the integrated approach. So we think we have Phil May next month. Okay. Item C, moving on, creation of a city parking map designed for use on the visitor's website.
That was the result of last week's presentation, or last month's presentation of the parking management plan. And I know that we had talked about it even earlier on when the city first kind of popped this out about having these different public parking areas, and that to have a map on the web.
It's somewhere, isn't it, the map? I know we had it there, but the directions.
It's not obvious.
Oh. It's, there was the map. With the directions, I know I've seen it. Map, there we go, with the directions. So maybe somewhere on, well, that takes you to MapQuest, that's different, but somewhere on that page, would that, where you think you might have that, Ed?
I think that we should sit down and as part, if, again, the reason this is on here is to discuss, have the committee decide if it's important enough to do this to where we take it to the budget subcommittee and ask John for, put a price tag on what it would cost to put up a simple, you know, page, because we might be able to download that and then reload it to our own format, but I don't know how you would utilize MapQuest to designate public parking areas in the city.
No.
So I don't know technically how all that would work, but I think it's important, and I think we should at least talk about it and try to put a number to it about what we, and then we could come back to the committee and say, hey, it's going to cost X number of dollars.
I think if the city, the starting point would be if the city had a, you know, a map that would work.
No, they don't. And the reason is because I think that Bruce is kind of looking towards maybe that, because it was my idea. I mean, they've got the public parking areas as part of the parking management plan, and we were talking about taking that job on for them, about creating that document for them.
No, I mean, it's like a city street map, if one exists right now.
Well, the Morro Bay map that's in the relocation guide is one that's, it's perfect.
Because that's a huge, if you have that to start with, like if I could get that emailed to me, the artwork.
Well, and I had asked Peter, it's a good he left the room, not really, but I had asked Peter, I don't know if it was last month or sometime back, if the map that we all advertised in, if that map was available by email. In other words, if the if we could use it, and if the company could email that file to us. So I don't know. Can't you take it? Can it be scanned?
Mm. No, you really need to have what I actually really need is original artwork.
Yeah.
Because so, that way then I can manipulate it. Otherwise, it's just like a PDF, you know, which is basically like a photo.
Right.
You can't change.
So John,
actually,
Peter.
This map would be good.
You have that artwork. That's in the back of the. That's from the back page of our visitor's guide. Yeah.
What about this map?
It's up to you. I mean,
have that map. I mean, it's in our system.
Well, actually, that's a good point. We have it because we have it in the guide that we did.
But we also have, Peter also has the file that they sent him on that map that you're looking at now, John. So we have both.
Okay.
But if you looked at the file that's in the visitor's guide, that nice colorful folder, it's the one that people want. I mean, it gives you a really good detail.
How about this?
And that too.
That's the map.
But that's the map that you've reproduced out of the bigger map or the one in the visitor's guide to use in your guide?
Right.
Okay,
right,
in that
right.
guide. So that one's available too, John. So okay. One way or the other, you can get something emailed to you. So what we should do then is have, if you'll get that to John, maybe you guys can communicate then to me, the next step would be to take that map and get it to Bruce, our public services director, have him just, you know, make a photocopy of it and have him say, okay, here's your map, mark the spots, we'll put them on there permanently and get the page up.
It would be pretty easy to do. The only, you know, once there's a map to work from, and if we have the art files, because that's what we would need to have, you know, to put the icons on. And I don't know, I may just have a PDF of the map. I'm not sure. I'll have to look and see what we had to do in the destination guide, because I just did a trail map for someone and it was a real challenge because the artwork, original art, never existed. So you have to get it to a, you know, that way you can get it to a size. And
well, I was going
to
say,
you have to work from, I mean, that's not a problem.
You must have that file yourself with regards to the destination guide, because you're the one that had it, that put it all together and had it created. So
providing we didn't work off a PDF, but I'm sure we probably had a file to work with that.
Okay.
So.
We can just communicate between us and see.
Yeah, if I have that artwork, which is likely, then the only thing I would need really to get it going is just where to designate the parking.
And so we need to get that from Bruce Ambo to get to us, to get to John.
Yep, and you know what? To that end, I'll grab a guide from wait a minute. First of all, let's find out what we're going to use. So let's decide.
From a cost standpoint, it's not going to be that costly.
Okay.
If we have a map.
And her about the members of our budget subcommittee that hadn't been created yet, so we could get going on it. And we got to talking a bit, and she said, I said, well, you know, why couldn't we receive, because I know that she's doing it now with David, but as the chair of the committee, Bridget would always send us here's the agenda. Do you like it? You know, and then we'd make changes at additions as the chair people of the committee, and she's doing that with you now. And then, but she has the ability to send out the agenda and the minutes by email. And it's like, well, you know, rather than all, you got the postage involved with mailing it, you got her time putting it together, photocopying all the, or printing out all the pages, when if we just took it upon ourselves to not forget our agendas, because that would be the biggest downfall to doing this. But I mean, it's an opportunity to go paperless, and meaning from a city standpoint, and then if we have this available, we can just print it out ourselves and bring to the meeting. That's, you know, and I know that Peter is getting the information from on the visitor center is going by email now to Bridget, and she's printing them out and putting them in. So there's not one part of this, I don't believe, that isn't available, you know, by email. And I just, that's the reason I thought we could discuss it and see if everybody was up for having that done, because we all have email addresses.
The question I just make sure is everyone has a printer. Like, I know some of this is in color. I don't have a color printer necessarily, but I'm sure it has the statistics anyway, that everyone is sure that their systems can print anything that's on here and able to do that before we make that Anyone have any technical problems with being able to print anything that's in here?
And if they do, they can just call the chamber. We'll print it out. I mean, it's not okay. A big deal for us to do that.
Well, that sounds like a very reasonable 21st century idea.
Well, I'm going to make a motion that we request that we start receiving our minutes and agendas by email from the city.
Second.
Any discussion on that?
That would include all the inserts on the tables and budgets.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
You know, if it didn't work, we could always go revert. But it's something that we could try.
I will share with the committee that...
Agenda items other than those already stated.
Well, I guess that could be under my part, but we'll probably bring a budget to the next meeting. So I don't know if you want that on the agenda.
I think what we should do is I think the item should talk about should be the 2007-2008 marketing plan.
Yeah, it really wouldn't be budget. It would
no,
be a plan.
It's
yeah.
Minimal.
So we'll agendize the 2007-2008 marketing plan, which will have input between now and then from the budget subcommittee and John Sorkin from it.
I would also just, I think we brought it up last meeting, I'm not sure, but I hope the committee is aware that the city's budget for next year has been adopted and approved, and part of that budget was an increase of the promotions committee budget by $20,000. So that is one thing. Are you aware of that, John? Yeah, so we'll be looking at, just to let everybody know that the numbers will be a little different.
And then that'll be subsequent on how we also go ahead with the other thing about changing the budget format so we see
right. That
money reflected where we want to. All right. Well, if no other future items, then I suppose we will. It's the first day of summer. Go have a good time. Remember 5 o'clock this afternoon, Salinen ceremony at the Rock. A happy solstice to all of you out there, and we will be here next month. Thank you.
In the chamber.